142, Jesus Shall Reign. Break thou the bread of life.
Yeah. Let's pray together as a church body in this beautiful Sunday. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And as a church body, we bring into your presence our hearts of thanksgiving, because one day thy word showed to us Jesus, and in Jesus we have found peace and life and joy and hope. And so, Father, it is with the same purpose that we meet together this morning, to bring people into the life of Jesus, to associate them with Jesus. And we are asking for mercy for those who are here in the auditorium and those listening in our large radio audience, that they may understand that life without Jesus is nothing. That when we find him, we find life. Not only life in this world, but life eternal. Oh, Father, bless us with the knowledge of the Almighty. Give us peace and joy in our heart when we know him, and cause us to serve him. Father, we pray for those in our membership and friends who are suffering. The Whitmire family are dealing with a brother who just have an angiogram and different situations of heart problems. And we pray for comfort in that family. We pray for Grandpa Forrest, who now is back into the hospital in a critical condition. And we pray, Lord, that in your mercy, you may deal with him. He knows you. He loves you. He has served you. And, Father, that you may cause him not to suffer, but rather, if it necessary, to be taken into your presence with love. Father, we pray for those who are in home sick, for our brother Kasanjian, who has flu, and I don't know others, but there are others people sick. And we're thankful, Father, that you cover us with your grace, and through medicine and through different things, we recover. But in the meantime, we pray that you be with those who are not here because of sickness and stress. Father, we pray for those who have heart, emotional, mental difficulties. Things to clear up in her life. Things to put on the table, sitting with you, Jesus, and asking you what to do. Or help those people who have problems like that to sit with Jesus as they open the word and pray and ask you, Lord, what must I do? Father, we pray for our nation, a nation that as I fly over different places, Chicago, New York, Florida, as I go different places, I see a nation who is prosperous and busy, but a nation who have left the Savior who made this nation prosper. Oh, Father, help the pastors across America not to fool around with your word, but to preach it just like it is, and to tell the people just like it is, so that America may return home. How I pray for the chaplain of the Congress and those people who are in very high places and who are Christians, that they may lift up their voice, so those in authority may tremble before the Lord and change their heart. Oh God, I'm sick and tired to see that those who are in high power, they disobey you blindly and they laugh about the things of God. Oh Father, restore us to the simplicity of that nation that fear you. And they walk in this world in the fear of God, and you brought us into the prosperity that we are today. Father, bless your people that they may fear you too, that they may be examples of the living God and the life. And I'm so glad, Father, that this morning we have to study one of the offerings that you taught Israel to bring unto the Lord, an offering who pictured the life of each one of us as grateful as can be, because we know God. Father, touch our life today. Help us to say, we have been with Jesus, and we are not the same. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now our brother Millerson will bring to us, as we bring the offering to the Lord, will bring us the offertory.
Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 81. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Leviticus, chapter 2. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of the meat offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. Thou shalt put it in pieces, and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering. And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priests, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offering of the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet savour. And every oblation of thy meat offering shall thou season with salt. Neither shall thou offer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering, which all thy offerings thou shalt offer salt. And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears, and thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, blessed is thy holy name. We praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because of thy mercy and grace upon our souls through the sacrifice of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Almighty God, as we see into thy word today of the meat offering, O Lord God, as we bring ourselves unto thee, O Lord Father, may all that we have we put on thy altar, O Lord God. For as we see the ingredients is for making of bread, and you have given us the bread of life, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask today that you'll be with thy servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he proclaims the gospel unto the people. That if any be here that do not know you, and as the voice of thy gospel goes over the airways, also those who do not know you, may you be merciful today, O Lord God, and let the gospel of Jesus Christ enter into their hearts, so that they also may bring an offering of thyself unto the altar, Almighty God, to serve thee and to worship thee in spirit and truth. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are we glad there is no 27 degrees outside this auditorium? I just came from Chicago, and as I walk outside, it was 27. I'm so glad I have a good overcoat and my hat. I recovered my hat that I lost last week when I came from New York. And I was just so so grateful. You don't know how cold it is. 27 degrees and there's snow on both sides of the road. It's really cold. And but it was a beautiful day, they said, in Chicago. The sun just merely made it, and they called them a sunshine day. They don't know what California is. Neither we want them to know and stay over there. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we gather together to study thy word. I was listening to my brother as he read the scripture. And as we listen to the reading of Leviticus 2, Father, looks so complicated and so out of place for today. But as we look upon the scripture closely, you're going to challenge our heart today. And I hope that I may communicate that truth with love and with care. In Jesus I pray, amen. We started the book of Leviticus, a few lessons on the book of Leviticus. And in last Sunday, we had chapter 1. And in chapter 1, we have an offering bring to the Lord. And that offering that was brought to the Lord was really a burnt offering, it's called. Because burn, because it's bring to the altar. And remember that the one who bring the offering had to put a hand on the head as the priest take the knife and cut the head of that animal, as in the blood is sprinkled, symbolizing that that animal took the place of the individual who brought the animal. Now, Leviticus chapter 2, as I pray, sounds complicated and sounds strange for us. But Leviticus chapter 2 tells me that after the offering of the atonement, that means I bring this lamb in my place, I should be dead. I should be executed and judged. But this bullock, this animal that I bring, take my place. And as the blood sprinkled from the animal and the animal is burned, when all is done, then I have to do something else. Look at Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1. And when any, I don't know why the King James took away the word soul over there. When any soul will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, a grain offering. That sounds much, much better. A grain offering. It's a punk, it's a cake. It's a bread. Now, this offering need to be brought on the top of the other. Look in chapter 6 and in verse 14 and in verse 15. Same book of Leviticus. Chapter 6. Now remember the picture. The man brought the animal. The animal is cut. The coals are there and the fire is there and the animal is consumed. In Leviticus chapter 6 verse 14 said, and this is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron, which are the priests, shall offer it before the Lord, before the altar, and he shall take of it his handful of the floor and of the offering and of the oil thereof and all the incense which is upon the meat offering and shall burn it upon the altar. Now, he just brought the animal in the altar. He just put the animal. They just cut the head. They just burned the animal. And as the animal comes to consumption and all the meat is consumed by the fire, now we need to bring the bread. That bread that was so special. And the bread need to be put on the top of the rest of the animal. Now, what a weird thing to do, no? Are you glad that in today's time with God, we don't have to do these things? But this is what, when the people went to church, that's what they have to do. They have to bring the animal. Said, I'm a sinner, but I don't have to die. This animal will die in my place. And after that, he has to stand there, and his wife come back in the back when the animal, I don't know, maybe it takes 2 or 3 hours for the animal to be consumed. His wife come with the cake made and the oil, And it's okay, here it is, and the priest will got it and put it on the top. Wow, what a, sounds strange, all of these things. Now, we need to keep in mind these, that the sacrifice or the burnt offering, the animal, made an atonement. That means pay the ransom and reconcile the person to God. Once you bring the animal and you said, kill this, and you put your hand on the head of the animal, a symbol of your faith in Christ Jesus, then the animal is, the blood is a splash all over, a symbol of the blood of Christ who covered your sins. Then you are reconciled to God, and you think that's it, that's wonderful. No, sir, God expects something from the people who are reconciled. What did he expect? He expects the bread. What do you mean, God? See, bringing that bread with oil was an offering of thanksgiving, as the choir so well expressed it this morning. An offering of thanksgiving to the Lord. That grain offering was saying to God, God, I'm thankful that I'm not a dead person, I'm alive. Because you took my place. So the symbol is very strong. It's so strong that the subject, the entire subject of the offering is this. Lord, I am thankful that you took my place. The man or the woman that came in was saying to the priest, the sons of Aaron, we as a family are thankful that we do not have to die, that God have put an offering, so we bring this bread as an expression of thanksgiving. Now you say, why a piece of bread? You mean, Pastor, that they brought a piece of bread and that was thanksgiving? Yeah, but you saw all the ingredients, as our brother mentioned in his prayer, the oil and salt and no yeast and no honey. Do you like bread with honey? I learned to eat bread with honey and with my black brethren in New Jersey. There's a big, large black church that invited me to preach in 1978. And they said, we're going to show you what kind of bread we made. And these black old ladies from Alabama, they were there and said, boy, that bread, I don't know how many pieces I eat. That's good, you know, with honey. But you saw here in the scripture, no honey on the bread, no yeast on the bread. Yes, put salt. Every offering should be with salt. So I guess that you are thinking with me, the piece of bread was just a piece of bread, but the ingredients that composed that piece of bread have a spiritual meaning for all of us. That's something to say to you, that when you bring an offering to the Lord, when you bring yourself to the Lord, these ingredients are telling us something. Perhaps the way in which we thank the Lord. There are four things I want to talk to you this morning out of this offering. This is the way that we thank the Lord. The way we thank the Lord, and he will say, it is acceptable. Number one, give the offering to God. That's verse one. And I deal with that in a minute. Give the offering to God. Verse one. Number two, give the offering through the priest. That's verse two. You give the offering through the priest. And number three, and this is the lesson for all of us, give the offering with a pure heart. Be sure you are clean. And number four, I like this one, but I'm a pastor. Give a special offerings. Give a special offerings. Wow. See, only God's people who are saved understand this. If you're not saved, you think I'm looking for money. I'm not looking for money in anybody. But I'm looking for a heart and a mind of dedication to God. That you as an individual will be able to say, God, I know you saved me. I know. I know that Jesus Christ died for me. I know. What is next? And no fair question that you will say, sir, I know that Jesus saved me. What is next? That's a fair question. Okay, here is what's next. Verse 1. You give an offering to God. Look at verse 1. And when any will offer a grain offering unto Jehovah, unto the Lord. See, the offering is given to God. Now why? Because it is God who has given us life. He has given us air, water, sun, the moon, the stars, the crops, the food, the clothing, the housing. All the necessities of life are provided by God. God created this material universe, everything that sustains our lives and keep us going. God is the creator. We owe God everything we are and have, spiritually, physically, and mentally. We must therefore give the offering of dedication to God. We must dedicate all we are and have to Him. Have you ever thought about it? And we must declare our dependency upon Him. Let me show you some scriptures in the New Testament that really express this. If you move your Bible to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, in chapter 12, and in verse 1, you will notice that God is expecting the offering of a sacrifice of yourself to God. In Romans 12, and in verse 1, we read, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, your humanity, as a living sacrifice to God. And what is style, God? Look over there. Holy, separated from the world, acceptable unto God. In other words, you can do anything you want to. No, sir. Everything you dedicate yourself to God, you have to do it according to God's rules. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that's no big exception. That's reasonable. God expects that every Christian be dedicated to God as an offering of himself because of the sacrifice that God has made for us. He expected that. But you give the offering to God. You don't do it to the church. You don't do it because of the pastor. You don't do it. You give yourself to God. Pure to God. Look at, you're in Romans. Move your Bible to the right just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15, the chapter of the wonderful chapter of the resurrection. Look at, in the very last verse, verse 58, how there is recommended that we dedicate ourselves to God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, I'm reading 1 Corinthians 15, 58, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, always abounding. Now, you have to dedicate yourself to the Lord. And you can do it in many ways. If you are a mother, you dedicate yourself to the Lord in doing the works of the lady in Proverbs chapter 31, that she works outside and she works in the home and she cares for the husband in a marvelous way. And if you are a man and a father and a husband, you dedicate it to the Lord by providing for your family, by protecting your family under your leadership, that they listen to you and say, this is the way we go. Lady, this is good. When a husband said, this is the way we go, darling, it's a protection in your life. It's not that you are submissive and you are a slave. You are protected by your husband. Protected. There is no other man that will protect you better than your own husband. Even when he's wrong. Because God sees it. Obey him. Follow him. This is dedication. This is the rules of dedication. God has saved you, and we are believers. And what we must do, dedicate ourselves unto the Lord. Give yourself unto the Lord. Somebody asked, as I was chatting, can you imagine somebody sitting 4 hours with me in the plane? I had to talk. I had to talk about the Lord. And there was no other place to go. The plane was busy. in there was only one chair left, mine. And they said, well, there is one passenger, stand by. And they said, oh, here's one. It's all right, give me one. Come this lady. And she said, I'm sad. And I'm really depressed. So you will leave this plane? Oh, full with joy. I tell you, let me go off here and I get my Bible. I get my Bible. And she listened, the guy here listened, the other turned around, and we have a conversation. She was a believer. And Mr. Guy was 7 or 8 chairs behind me. And she was a believer, and her grandma died, and she was raised by grandma. But her pastor told her the grandma is in a limbo. And then later on, she's going to be pushed up. And I don't talk about her pastor. I talk about the greatness of the salvation of God. He said, I'm sitting in heavenly places now. And I was talking like that in the plane. That was a little excited. I think some of the spirit of my brother Mark rattled me while I was in the plane. And I was excited to when we arrived to San Francisco, she ran the wrong way, saw the husband, said, I met the man that made my life. And the guy was interested in meeting me. I said, oh, Lord, now I'm in trouble. And I shake my hands. And as soon as I talked, he said, family radio. Thank God for the radio. I said, now I know. See, we are grateful for what God has done. Sometimes if you don't understand what God has done, of course you are not grateful. But if you understand that you and I were heading on the highway to hell, and God couldn't stop and replace my life with the life of Jesus, can you be grateful? Sometimes in the business of America, we forgot the grain offering. And so God is smart enough to say, I know you are grateful and you bring the bullock, but as soon as those Israelites go out, they're going to be busy and they're going to forget that their life has been forgiven because of God, of the offering. Bring the cake, will you? So that you remind yourself that you have to be grateful people. Give the offering to God. Number two, give the offering to the Lord through the priest. Go back to Leviticus chapter 2 and look in verse 2. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. Now, the bullock was different. When you bring the bullock, you walk through the altar. It was a piece of steel, remember the altar, square? And you put the bullock on the altar and you prepare it. And you prepare the fire and prepare everything. That means you are the real guilty party. And then when all is done, you tell the priest, and then you put your hands on it. That has been done. But now, in this offering is different. Verse 2 said that you bring into Aaron's sons who are the priests. Give the offering through the priests. You know what is that? That's a picture of Christ Jesus, who is the bread of life. Who is our priest? Now, I'm not your priest. Now, I know in today's world, there are religions who their pastor is also a priest. You know, in the Bible, they are officers, they are prophets. A prophet is somebody who speaks on behalf of God. A priest is somebody who speaks to God on behalf of the people. That's what a priest is. But I'm not your priest, but we have a priest in this church. Here it is. Hebrews chapter 4. Go in your Bible. Somebody tell you, do you sure have a priest? Yes, sir, we have a priest. And how big is this priest? Oh, he is the priest of priests. I mean, he is top on the line. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and verse 15. Look at what the scripture says. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens. Who is it? Here's the name. Jesus, the Son of God. I was in New York the week before that one. And I saw somebody saying, Papa, and here comes an old man. I will not say the age, you know, some of you will get upset because I say old man. He was 80. And he is coming in. And I say, he's my papa. And there was a young lady. Now, I don't say anything because my grandfather was 81 when one of my aunts was born, so I don't say anything, but just a look on it. He says, yes, he's my grandfather, actually, and we call Papa. I mean, the big one. Well, that's what the word Papa in Italian means, the big one. When you say Papa, you're saying the top one. All right? And you know, Roman Catholicism has a Papa, the top one. But they have an error. The Papa is the real Jesus. Look at here, right here. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed to the heaven. A great high priest. We have a Papa. We have a big one. Who is it? Jesus. Jesus. Look at verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was on earth. This is not a fantasy. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet what? Without sin. Now this is the Papa. This is the high priest. He was tempted. Remember, we studied last Sunday night the temptations of Jesus. He was cornered everywhere, and he was without sin. He's a high priest. Well, you bring the offering to him. You bring the offering to him. It is through Christ Jesus that we bring the offering to God. You want to see it in the scripture? You are in Hebrews chapter 4. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, look with me, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Look at what the scripture says. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. See, by him, by Jesus Christ. We offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving through Jesus Christ, said the Bible. That is the fruit of our lips, given thanks to his name. It's through Christ Jesus that we are thankful. It's to him that we bring our thanksgiving. Look at the Ephesians. Move your Bible to the left. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to change one word. There in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. The English said followers of God. The original used the word mimic. What is mimic? It's imitation. Is that right? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. He said, be ye imitators of God. What a challenge. Have you ever thought, you and I, imitating God as a husband, as a wife, as a man, as a woman, as a young man in the school, behaving, imitating God? He said, be ye imitators of God as their children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us, verse 2, and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma. So see, Christ himself offered himself. He is that burnt offering. That's what verse 2 is saying. Christ is the burnt offering. Now we go on the top of Christ and say, God, we are thankful because of Jesus. Now, you are thankful because of your church, and you are thankful because of your pastor, and some of you have expressed that, and I'm thankful for that. But listen, people, we need to be thankful because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Give an offering to the high priest. Give the offering to your life to Jesus. Now, you got a tough husband? Okay, you're going to serve the Lord and be humble before the husband because of Jesus. Somebody said, well, that will be a slavery. No, sir, when you serve Jesus, it's not slavery. It's not slavery. When you serve Jesus, you dedicate yourself to Jesus as a wife. You can dedicate yourself to Jesus as a husband. Give the offering of yourself to Jesus. Number three, give the offering with a pure heart. Let's go to Leviticus 2. Look at verse 11. Give the offering with a pure heart. That will touch all of us. Doesn't say give the offering well-dressed. Doesn't say give the offering in a cathedral. Doesn't say, oh, give the offering in this style and the other style. Say, give the offering with a pure heart. Look at verse 11. No grain offering, no piece of cake or bread, which ye shall bring unto the Lord, shall be made with leaven. You know, leaven is yeast. For ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering of the Lord made by fire. God said, now there is one requirement. When you bring this offering and you are thankful, you have to be pure as God is pure. I don't want any yeast. I don't want any honey. And you will say, well, Pastor, why? Because yeast and honey are symbols of corruption in the Bible. Let me show it to you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16 in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the yeast of the Pharisees. Be careful. See, leaven is a symbol of bad, corruption. Move your Bible to the right to Galatians. You go to Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 9, that really explained these very clearly. Galatians chapter 5, as soon as I get it, in verse 9, I read it to you. It's just fantastic. Galatians 5, verse 9. A little leaven, a little yeast, leaven the whole lamp. So not even a little you have to put. You're in Galatians, go to the left to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 7. I find it right here. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 and verse 7. Look at what the Bible says. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven the whole lamp? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lamp, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed. So it's a symbol of corruption. God doesn't want us to come to him and say to God, well, God, we are thankful, and we have secret sins in our life. That's what leaven is. Nobody, you know, when you buy bread, you don't see the leaven. All right? You see the bread. You got a nice piece of bread. And more pump up the bread, more leaven, more yeast they have. All right? You see those nice leaven. You know, have you seen cooking bread? It's just flat. And then you put it over there a few minutes and goes, it's beautiful. It's the leaven. Nobody see it. It's inside. And God said, when we Christians dedicate ourselves to him and say, we want to serve you, we want to love you, we want to do good things for you, oh God, we have not to keep secret sins in our heart. No leaven. Clear as can be. Put the things on the table. Put the things clear on the table. Doesn't matter how hard they are or how bad they are, God always have mercy. But God have no mercy with those who have malice, with those who hide things. So leaven is a symbol of corruption. What about honey? I thought the honey was good. No, sir. Look at the book of Proverbs. Chapter 25. Leaven is a symbol of corruption. Secret sins. Things that we hide, that we do and nobody see. God said, don't come like that to me. I have no respect for anybody who comes like this, that looks like a Christian, talk like a Christian, but he's not. I don't want something like that. Look in chapter 25 of Proverbs, and in verse 27. It is no good to eat much honey. I eat a lot of honey. Do you eat honey? I put honey in the coffee, honey in this, honey in the tea, honey in everywhere. Cans of honey goes in my home. It's no good to eat much honey. Why? Look at verse 27. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. You see what it is? It's a symbol of worldliness, personal glory. Honey is a symbol of I do it myself, that kind of stuff. And so God, going back to the offering, is saying to us, come on, bring the offering, but bring the offering with a pure heart. Don't think you are doing something by bringing the offering of yourselves. You have to be clean in your mind. No secret sins will hurt anyway because they will be known later on. No secret sins. Live a clean life before the Lord, completely clean before God and before man, and don't take the glory yourself. No honey in your life. Whatever you are is because of God through Christ. Now you notice that they look in Leviticus 2. Okay, the bread is made without yeast. That must be a very flat bread. And like pita, you know, bread. Very, very flat bread, which I like it too. And without honey. But then also must have salt on it. Look at verse 13. Leviticus 2:13. And every oblation of thy meat offering shall thou season with salt. Neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy grain offering. Wow. They have to be mixed with salt. Why? Because salt preserves. And this verse clearly is in a spiritual teaching. He said the covenant, look at what it said right here in verse 13. Neither shall thou suffer the salt of the covenant. No, that's not a meal. You don't go to the store and say, give me a piece of bread of the salt of the covenant. That's in a spiritual understanding. What God is saying? Well, salt was never to be left out of the offering. And salt here is saying to me, is a clear picture. The salt of the covenant means that the salt of God's covenant will be preserved forever. God have a covenant to save his people, and he will not change as salt preserving, so God will preserve you. So the salt reminds a person that God will keep his promise. You bring the offering, pure heart, and with thanksgiving, that God will keep his promise. Thus, the grain offering preserves the aroma of the atonement. Look in chapter 5 of Matthew, and in verse 13. We study in detail tonight this verse, but Matthew 5:13. He said to the Christians these words. Christians, Matthew 5:13. Christians, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. And so, you have to take responsibility on this. If you are the only person who knows the Lord in your home, do you know that your home is preserved because of you? If you are a husband and your wife is unsaved, do you know that you outpour your blessings on your wife because you are saved and vice versa? You know, young people, if you are the only one in your home saved, and mama and papa is not saved, and your uncles are not saved, and nobody else is saved, you are the salt of that home. You are a gift of God to bring to that home peace. And that God will not forsake his covenant. He has made a covenant of salt, a covenant of preservation. I told this lady, I said to you, how old was your grandmother who died? And they lied to you and they told you that she is in a limbo. She's not in a limbo whatsoever. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 and 5 said, but now God has given us grace who have seen us in heavenly places. She said, are you sure? I said, does God lie? So I'm reading the Bible. Does God lie? Like this in a plane. It's so small, you know. It's excited. And she glows. She said, no. He said, well, God doesn't lie. And the same God that saved your grandma is preserving her. It's a covenant of salt. It's a preservation. 14. Leviticus 2:14. Give an special offering to the Lord. You see the word and? How about Leviticus 14 star. Start with the word and in your Bible. That means this is an addition. Is that right? And, said, and. The offering is done. You bring your offering with a pure heart. You bring your offering to Jesus. And you know you're going to be preserved because God has a covenant with you. But now, he said, and in addition to all of this, if thou offer a grain offering of thy first fruit. God, what do you mean, the first fruit? Well, see, when the fruit of the harvest came in, a person must sense thankfulness, but the real need of rededication his life to the Lord. I tell you how we were taught in our church, remember, Mama, in Argentina. When you get a raise in your work, you bring that raise all to the Lord. The entire raise, Pastor, the entire raise. And we never were broke. Never. Our church never had to borrow money to make a building. Never. Because the pastor said, young people, you're going to get really good. And you're going to be really good. And when God give you some blessings, a raise or some, you invest money and you get some profit. The first time you do it, bring it all to the Lord, he said. Like now, he said, pull your ring and put it on the offering. And we all had to do it. And we melt that gold and make the building. I tell you, America doesn't know anything about this. We are so selfish. We keep everything to ourselves for the devil so that we can spend the money more. You see, God is very serious. God is very serious. And I learned that from childhood. So when we started this church, I say it to you because I had the right to preach this. When we started this church and we're going to buy the building, the only saving I have at that time in 1982 was $10,000. And we pull out every penny from the saving and give it to Brother Kasanjan. And Dr. McCormack pull out what he has and the others. And you think God's not going to bless us? We didn't give the offering just expecting the blessing. We want God to have the building. And in 20 minutes, we had $220,000 in that table. Made me cry. And Brother Casada went to the bank and on his own, he took about 150. And you think God's going to move you away? Now listen, when you do it with a true heart, you know, when you do it with a pure heart, bring an offering to the Lord. It's a very careful offering. Verse 14 said, it's the first fruit. You know the first fruit, the grain is still green on the crops, it's still green. I was in Indiana doing a funeral and went to the cornfield and the guy stopped. He said, boy, look, this is good corn. It's still green. And he opened up the man who was driving the herd. He said, oh, the people are way behind. So I show you here in Indiana something. He said, get out and show me the corn. He said, this is good. This is green. He said, you keep it in your home for a week. Woo, it's sweet and beautiful. That's what you bring to the Lord. No, the leftovers, whatever is left over. You want your house to be blessed. You want you to progress. You bring to the Lord an offering of yourself and whatever you have, the best, the best, the best to the Lord. And you will never repent it. Never repent it. I see some of you progressing. And I pray for you that you will be rich in business, the best of this world. But listen. Do not put the Lord aside, because whatever the Lord gives you, he takes you away. If you do not give the honor to God and bring that offering to God, yourself first with a pure heart, and whatever is yours to the Lord, don't ever think, should I have or should not have? The time kills me. I have two more pages on this, but I tell you this. Abraham gave the tithe to the Lord. Nehemiah went into the city and he said, what? That there is no money for the singers of praise God? That there is no instruments of praise God? That there is no grain for the priest? What? He said, come on, people, bring everything to the Lord. And when Jesus came to this earth, he never walked in Solomon's temple, but he walks in Nehemiah's temple. Who was Nehemiah? Just an FBI agent of King Ahasuerus, who have the Lord in his heart. Oh, being acceptable to God through the offering of the bullock, my sins are moving away. Now today's lesson, being acceptable to God by me, dedicating myself to God and whatever is mine. May God help us to do so, so that we may bring a blessing to the generation that follow. Do you want your children to be blessed? You have to dedicate yourself to the Lord entirely and let them watch you. And when they see the reality in you, they will follow. Thank you, Father, for the lesson today. Jesus, the bread of life, has dedicated himself to us. Jesus, the bread of life, has given his life to us. And where is he? The Bible says 6 times he's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Father, sometimes we bring chaos and problems in our life because of the lack of purity in our life, or because we are not thankful. Oh, help us, oh God, to be thankful to a God who have made a covenant of salt with us, preserved forever. Oh Lord, cause us to be thankful so that we may reap the benefit of a loving God. In Jesus we pray. Amen. please, as we close in prayer. Father, there was a lamb on the altar, Jesus. But on the top of the altar is ourselves. So we come today with a true heart to you. And we are saying, God, use us. Use us as a father, as a mother, as a young man, as a young woman who wants to serve you. Use us. Lord, here's what we have is yours, a life, that we may praise you forever because you have saved us. And when all is done, oh Father, we're going to say, praise the Lord who has been faithful forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.